Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. Let me just get into a chant. Obama lied, he must be tried. Obama lied, he must be tried. That needs to be the chant whenever we start talking about Obamacare, ACA, and the upcoming election. I was really upset that the Republicans who talked about repeal, 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 and then they changed their tune to repeal and replace, repeal and replace. It is time we actually start drawing the line and demanding Republicans actually honor the contract, honor the Constitution, and we should start really pushing this issue. And, you know, chants, I think, you know, when you have a crowd or you can create a little bit of a chant, it doesn't have to be pithy. I mean, what was the Fort Apache, the Bronx? Let the brothers go, right? I mean, I think it was a Paul Newman movie. Anyway, we need to hold their feet to the fire. We move on too quickly. And it's not about being Christian here. It's about using the public forum in trying to hold them accountable for their past actions. I believe that every time, every time a conservative falls on their sword, I will tell you that the incident, the dirty laundry, or whatever it is aired out every time. And they're merciless. And it's not about being merciless. It is about keeping the people cognizant of these problems and the fact that Obama lied. Obama used his office to actually help pump up America in buying into Obamacare. And what he did was he lied because he knew. And like I said in the previous show, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that we would not be able to keep our doctors. He knew about all the issues that were coming forward in the ACA. If you want to get rid of Obamacare, if you want to get rid of Common Core, if you want to get rid of all of these things, this is the show to listen to. Because we talk about the process. The states, this is a compact, and the states are the stakeholders of this compact. And the states have the authority to audit their compact. They can clearly delineate all of the things like the ACA, agriculture, Department of Interior, BLM. All of these things that they are inflicting upon us are unconstitutional. Period. Point blank. We need to hold them accountable, and the states have the ability to actually rip this out. If you want to know how to do that, the process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. But because I kind of went through the obstacles and the paradigms that I'm dealing with people in the past 2 days, I didn't get a chance to kind of keep up with the news. So let me cover some of the old news that we didn't get. And next week, I am going to be firing the highlights from the ratification debates for you. So I'm not sure what state we're going to start with. Maybe it'll be your favorite state. Maybe it'll be somebody else's favorite state. It's got to be somebody's favorite state, right? Anywho, let me just also tell you that we have a listen number. You can dial in and listen to this show if you cannot stream it. 605-562-4209. That number is also, we have two lines. We also have 605-313-0599. Just in case we have, you know, technical problems with one line, you know, what are the chances of being bit twice? Well, pretty good. Anyway, because 9 times out of 10, we're using the same company, same services, and so forth. But if we get one that is overcrowded, too many people are listening, that's why we have a second. And I'm hoping that you actually cook those lines so that we can make up a third. So with that, let me kind of move forward real quick because, like I said, I want to get into the news that isn't going anywhere because it's just getting older, and I want to give you some insights as well as a perspective of how these things are just violating our Constitution. And the standing question that I have that I need you to answer, and it doesn't have to come across you know, verbally, or, you know, you don't have to actually say it out loud. Answer it in your heart. What is it going to take to get you to save our liberties? There's only one way to do this. And it's not getting the next Pogue elected because they happen to have a Republican name next to their name. What it's going to take is getting you to demand compliance and getting your state representatives to sign a petition that they will do actionable things. We're going to be getting into a lot of this stuff as we head into the election year because that's what we're doing. We're ramping up for that. Last year was an election year, and we actually got some people that signed the petitions. I'm planning on getting more people to sign the petitions. So, with that, let me just dive forward with requesting your support. What we do need is we do need your support. We need your involvement. There's different ways you can get involved. You can actually help us financially if you drink coffee by buying your coffee from Red State Coffee. Yes, Red State Coffee grinds Red State Coffee beans. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there. I guess I need to put a picture of the Red State Coffee because I would think that all the coffee drinkers out there would probably say, you know, let me give this a try. As I said in a previous show, we actually had one person call in, but they used a cell phone and it was really, it wasn't good enough audio and broken up and so forth. So if you like this coffee, try one bag. If you like the coffee, give us a call, 425-270-5416. 425-270-5416. Let us know what you think. That's our comment line. As a matter of fact, if you got a comment regarding the show, you got a comment regarding the content, or you got a problem, and don't call me with your, you know, your love problems, your girlfriend, boyfriend, or anything like that. I talking about problems with what we're talking about, problems with the government or so forth. It's a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, with that, there's another way you can actually give us or support us financially by giving us money directly by our GoFundMe campaign, which is Reclaiming the Republic. There you go, Reclaiming the Republic, and you can actually get the link to that on the reclaimingtherepublic.org homepage as well. More importantly than the finances and everything else, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a good product while you're, you know, enjoying the show, the talk, the banter, what have you. But what we do need is we need people to get involved. What we need is you to get motivated to take a stand and actually step up and run for office. We're here to help you. We want to help you. If you are tired of the rhino that is representing you because you live in a red state, you live in a red county or what have, and you've got a rhino, challenge that Pogue and we will help you. Just send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you just want to get involved, you want to lead, you want to become a leader in the grassroots movement here, then I would tell you that just send us an email. Tell us what you've got, what you'd like to do, or what have you, and we're here to help. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. With that, what are you doing for Constitution Day? I know I haven't mentioned this, but it's coming up. As a matter of fact, we're now well under 2 months. We're counting down to one now. What are you going to do? And when we hit that 1 month point, we're going to start telling you, you know, what some places are doing for Constitution Day. What we would like to hear is, what are you going to do? Are you going to do anything? And it breaks my heart to hear such silence that nobody wants to do. Nobody has time. Nobody has the either resources, and time is, I get it, it's a very valuable resource, but I'm here to tell you that we all have a responsibility. This isn't GR's job. GR's job is hopefully giving you the information that it is this bad out here that if you don't start doing something, you might be the, you know, one of the first in, what do you want to say, invited, one of the first who entered into the political prisons of America for live organ harvesting. They're doing it in China. And when we lose our constitution, which means we will lose our civil rights and we will fall under, human rights or humanity rights or whatever, under the UN, we will no longer have the protection of the constitution as the supreme law of the land. We will be subjugated, and history does not bode well. If you look at the direction we're going, I keep on telling you this, you can always tell and you can forecast what is going to happen by looking historically as to what's happened before as these things line up. So with that, let me kind of move forward. If you haven't heard, and so getting into the crazy news here. So, and this is more of a, it has nothing to do with the Constitution. I realize this. But what this does have to do with is if you remember what we were doing here in America in the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, we were going to the moon. And so India is going to the moon. And so that's great for them, but let's talk a little bit about India and their problems, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Well, so India is actually planning a mission of a moon lander. They're actually looking to put a vehicle. I don't know if they're planning on putting people on the moon. But the interesting thing was they had a technical glitch and they kind of scrubbed the mission. They're going to do it again. Now, I think back in the 60s and 70s, the technology that we had and how crude and fundamental it was. the fact that we could mathematically figure out, and that they could have probably figured out how to land on the moon or how to get there mathematically way back in ancient Greece. But the type of technology we had in the 60s and early 70s compared to today is, an astronomical leap. I mean, it's almost the same as looking at ancient Greece and the 70s, practically. I mean, we had the combustion engine and so forth, but the industrial age and the computer age was just kicking, and we were literally looking at crude technologies, compared to today. And the fact that they scrubbed the mission due to this technicality, I find it interesting, because there were points in time, I believe, where just the true grit, the American grit that our astronauts had, and if you watch some of the Apollo missions, I forget which one it was, I mean, those guys were, making it up as they go along, because they didn't have, technical contingencies. They had to use duct tape, wire, or what have you, to just stay alive as they're in space and trying to get back. And this gives you the perspective that now we've got somebody that's going to the moon that is not necessarily like Russia or America. It is India. Now, India has a lot of people. It is resource-rich with people, and they've become technologically advanced as well. And this is, it's all great that these things are happening. But in context, if you look at the standard of living in America in the 60s and 70s, and you look at the standard of living in India, there is a vast difference between the what we call the poor, the middle class, and the rich compared to America. Now, people talk about, America is, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Well, not necessarily, because most Americans enjoy in America today, regardless of what your financial class is, most Americans enjoy air conditioning. India, they don't. India is not, immersed in all of these standard technologies that we've been enjoying for years and years. And so we've been more than giving, that's the best word for it, more than giving in our entitlement state. And it's been the entitlement state that has made the middle class, or I should say the poorer or the low middle class and below, capable of trying, not even trying, keeping up in some respects. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of people that are very poor that have a very nice car and have a phone and that type of technology. And I'm going, okay, that is not the case in India. I don't know what the percentages are, but most people in India don't have their 4G, 3G, and getting into the 5G thing. And just telling you that there is a stark contrast between India hitting that moon and America hitting that moon, almost 50 years ago. Actually, it was 50 years ago, really, if you think about it. What was it, 69, 67, when we actually hit the moon? And so just a retrospect, if you start looking at, other nations coming to the table with these advancements and so forth, and it took them 50 years to get here, how much longer is it going to be for, who knows, the Philippines and or, Malaysia or Indonesia or, let's say, Uruguay, every other nation to be able to put a man on the moon? Now, again, India is rich. America has been investing. I mean, obviously, most all of our, help desk centers are in India. At least a lot of them are there, the Philippines and so forth in that area. So I know we're pouring money in, but if you understand how little these folks get paid by these American companies, I know that people would shame them. But bottom line, here is India scrubbing the mission because of a technicality, in contrast to our grit. And also in contrast, the facts of the disparities between the different classes in India. And you got to remember, they have been for millennia a caste system. In other words, there were certain people that were above other people. That was a part of their culture for thousands of years. Compare that to America. Compare where we are and how our lives are. And you should be very proud that we have set a standard that other countries like India is trying to follow us in that same path. Now, if you haven't heard, 5G is starting to get hot in America, and there are idiots out there that are diving into trying to create hotspots and so forth as they launch 5G. Folks, I was talking to some family members that have kids, and I was telling my family members that if you give your child a 5G phone, then you should go to jail for child abuse, because you're giving that child a harmful device that will give them, you know, tumors and so forth. If you go and read Orlean Kolk's book, Whoa Nelly, 5G and More, and that's not the full title. I'm not good with that. I don't have it in front of me. But my point is, if you go and read that book, I remember I was blown away that with a standard cell phone like 3G, 4G, and so forth, if you hold that thing up to your head for 260 hours, it's like 100-some-odd% chance that you're going to have tumors in your head. 100% chance. If 260 hours, how many people have actually sat on the phone and talked with a cell phone next to their head for 200 some odd hours? I've seen people in shows and so forth where they're laying, and I know maybe acting or what have you, but people literally have these things glued to their head. If you look at the ramifications and the health risks that are coming out from these things, giving your child and allowing kids that are not adults, that should be tantamount to child abuse. I don't want to get the CSP involved. They've already been militarized. But I'm just trying to point out that as they launch this new technology, you better be very careful. You better be very, very careful in making sure that your children understand, if you're giving it to them, all the dangers that come with it. And 9 times out of 10, you don't even know. So that's why I would highly recommend you getting Orlean Kolk's book. And if you want to, just come to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and on the podcast page and on the important links, we have a link to her publication books, and go look for her Whoa Nelly book. Get that book and read and understand the dangers you're subjecting to your children. One other thing before I really launch into some J. Edward Griffin news, because this kind of boiled up this week. Kathy Griffin. I'm not sure if you know, everybody knows who she was. I think she was the one holding the Trump head, you know, decapitated and very, I mean, just like that was funny. I don't know. But Kathy Griffin, let's look at her history. If you go back, because I believe Jerry Seinfeld was one of the guys that actually helped launch her career, because she was just a nightclub stand-up comic until Jerry brought her onto his show. And I want you to look at her personality on that show. She has really personified that personality in her regular everyday life. I mean, is it providential? Is it just a coincidence? Or go watch that Jerry Seinfeld show. I think there's one or two shows where he actually had her on. And she just becomes this loony bin. And I'm going, wow. I mean, I can't believe she has totally manifested the persona of who she played. Either that or Jerry let her be herself. And you can't tell me that she is not, you know, she's not stable. This woman has problems. And we can blame Jerry Seinfeld for giving her that portal, opening that door for her. Okay? That's all we can do. Now, there are a couple of other things I wanted to get into. The rhetoric on George Clooney and others regarding what Trump is doing and so forth. These guys are so irrelevant. I mean, really, once these guys make so much money, they become these pompous pigs in their opulence. And it just makes me laugh to think that they really believe that they're relevant. The sad thing is that there's way too many people that look at these folks and go, wow, these guys really, they make them into gods or demigods. And I'm going, what is wrong with America? These guys are idiots. For a profession, these guys lie. An actor only portrays themselves as somebody else. These guys are professional liars. And so anytime an actor gets up and says anything political, you got to keep this in mind. These guys are professional liars. Okay, so just like Democrats and most politicians, right? Rhinos and so forth. When we come back, there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about, and then we'll get into the G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And if you haven't been watching, and we've talked about this a bit here, the tensions in Hong Kong, the tensions in Hong Kong are clearly, a sign, a symptom of the ratcheting up of tyranny in China, or I should say the oppression of the people. We are reaching a Tiananmen Square moment, and I'm hoping it happens on Trump's watch, and I'm hoping that Trump doesn't do what Bush does, or what Bush did, I should say, with Bush Sr. I hope Trump actually steps in and says, hey, China, You have no right violating the human rights of your citizens. And we should be advocates for individual liberty. And I hope Trump actually says, you know, starts addressing the Chinese people and we start barraging them, not with propaganda, but with information and support so that they understand if they want to cast off their Communist Party and over, you know, take back their government instead of becoming a, you know, a mob rule or a communist statist type of government. If they want to become a, you know, And this is where I think this would be the great door to open. If China wants to become a state in the United States, and this will inflame a lot of you folks, don't think it's going to happen in a day, and don't think it'll happen in a decade. It could take 20, 30 years for China to make the necessary changes to become a state in the United States. Now, you got to remember that the proportion and so forth would have to be addressed to where they're represented. Because, I mean, if we assimilated China into the United States, it would be problematic if we were continuing down this path that the federal government can do anything and everything. If we're abiding by the Constitution, where people don't get welfare, we only stay out of their way, and the federal government stays within the framework of the Constitution, where Congress doesn't have the business to buy votes by offering free health care and all this other crap, then how big Congress gets really doesn't matter. Congress can continue to grow and grow, and Congress can function in a virtual world. The fact is there's no reason why we're subjugating ourselves to the United Nations. The U.S. Constitution should be the standard for the entire world. I believe that was the intent of the Constitution. There's no doubt in my mind that the framers, you know, actually did put in the Constitution the ability for states to, you know, petition and apply to become a state of the United States. It was the evildoers with the Human League and Wilson that tried to duplicate and tried to create the dark side of the United States Constitution, a federation of nations. And it's the same thing with the United Nations. That is the dark side of our U.S. Constitution, because our Constitution is an enumerated constitution. The U.N. is not. It's these guys are granting themselves all sorts of unlimited powers. Anyway, what is also going on in China, not just this tension and unrest, because what usually happens when there's a downturn in the economy? Well, people usually suffer a little bit. China's GDP is 6.2%. It's the lowest in 27 years. Now, I want you to think about this. Their GDP is 6.2%. And we're happy with a 3%. I'm here to tell you that 6.2% is not, it doesn't equate to our 3%, because we have an unlimited, or I should say an unleashed private sector. The federal government is trying to change that, and they're trying to nationalize and start moving, because just what they did with healthcare was a big part of that. But if you look at the Chinese GDP, that is all government growth. That is the gross domestic product of their government, because everything is produced by the government. So the numbers don't necessarily equate to the same thing as the private sector. And so most people think, well, you know, China is far more productive than we are. Well, you may think that, but China is actually not as productive, because they have to copy. They don't have innovations. They have the same problems that Russia had, because they do not have a free economy where people can bring forth great ideas and so forth. That's why they constantly copy our technology and they violate our intellectual property. So all they're doing is copying us and then outproducing the products that are idiots, you know, like Hewlett-Packard and the rest of the companies that go in there. They're idiots for doing business with China. So let me move on and let me try to jump into the G. Edward Griffin news, or need-to-know news and so forth. The mainstream media and European leaders are beginning to label, and this is not G. Edward Griffin, this is still G.R. Mobley's wit and analysis, but G. Edward Griffin, or I should say the mainstream media and European leaders, are labeling the nationalist movement in Italy as a far-right extremist movement, okay? What they are really doing, because this far-right extremist group that they have is actually, it is a nationalist movement. What is the difference between a patriotic movement and a nationalist movement? a nationalist movement wants the government to take control. They want to have greater controls. What is nationalism here in America? The Ku Klux Klan, Black Lives Matter. Those are nationalist movements, and they're far left extremists. They are not far right, where they want to give people more freedom and so forth. These groups are very serious about taking control and becoming the boss of government. And that's the same thing with the KKK and these other radical far left groups here in America. And it infuriates me that we keep on letting them get away with using the term far right extremists. Why? Because people truly believe that the Nazis were far-right extremists, when actually they were socialists. They were extreme leftists. As a matter of fact, they made the communists look bad, right? If you look at some of the stuff that they did, they made the communists, you know, look terrible. Okay, so now in G. Edward Griffin, there seems to be a packaging of a new lie. And it seems like in a five-year analysis, it seems to state that there are stricter gun laws, and they're trying to package this new law in basically telling people that by having stricter gun laws, that we are safer, that young people are safer. And so this new study that came out states that the stricter gun laws and requiring universal background checks for firearm purchases had a lower firearm-related pediatric mortality rates, and these findings support the need for further investigation into understanding the impact of firearm legislation on pediatric mortality. This study came out of the pediatricians group. Now, apparently, they've become a politicized organization. In other words, they've stepped away from, you know, mastering and focusing on the good health, and they've decided to step into politics. So the Pediatric Society, or Association, whatever these guys are called, have decided to become a political organization instead of an organization focused on what is best for, you know, child care as far as health, as far as nutrition and medicines and so forth. Because if you ask me, pediatrics, it has nothing to do with anything government. It is supposedly focused on medicine. And so I'm here to tell you that what they're doing is the same thing as, you know, the tobacco company said, well, you know, smoking a cigarette actually makes you stronger or grows hair on your chest or whatever those stupid assertions were. Yeah, you can actually do a study and find something that might, you know, come as a positive factor from smoking, but it does not negate all of the derogatory things. And what these people are doing is saying that these studies have proven, and I really don't believe, you have to question these things, because how are the pediatric deaths in Wyoming, where everybody is packing? How are the pediatric deaths in Illinois, where they have stricter gun laws? This doesn't make sense, because there are more kids dying, children, little kids dying in these combat zones where they have, you know, all sorts of gun laws. They're so restrictive that most people owning a gun gets arrested and you go to jail. G. Edward Griffin came out with this new bit of information regarding one of these assets that was actually seized. It was a ship, and it was carrying, or I should say, it was flying a flag of Liberia. And if you understand Liberia, we talked about this before. Liberia is the nation that was created by James Monroe by repatriating free blacks out of America and sending them back to Africa so that they could literally, you know, have a better chance instead of living here. Now, that was how Thomas Jefferson had planned it. Madison moved forward with it, and it was James Monroe that actualized it. Now, we're going to get into the nugget of news regarding Liberia as soon as we come back. But it's interesting that this ship had a Liberia flag on it, but it was driven by different people. So we will be right back, and I'll tell you who those people were and what they found on the ship. We'll be right back after this. folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so before we went into the break, I was telling you about this Liberian ship. Actually, I don't think it was really a Liberian ship. First off, G. Edward Griffin exposes the fact that this ship was actually owned by J.P. Morgan. It was considered an asset on the J.P. Morgan's book. And, oh, by the way, the crew members that were driving and operating the ship, and I don't know how big this ship was. Obviously, it's not an oil tanker, but this was a seagoing ship that was driven or being operated by six crew members from Serbia and Samoa. Now, I don't know if you can get any further away from Liberia, but somehow a Liberian ship was being operated by guys from Serbia. That's up by Russia, the Serbs, right? Kosovo, so forth. That's not Africa. And Samoa, that's way out in the middle of the Pacific. Really? So here's the interesting thing. This ship was actually seized in American waters off, I don't know what state, because this is important, what state it was. But it was seized because this ship was carrying 20 tons of cocaine. That has a street value of $1.3 billion. Okay, now, first off, the Constitution has never delegated the power to the federal government, because it was seized by the federal government, and it was actually seized as the ship was seized as well, as a part of the asset forfeiture. Now, clearly, there is nothing in the Constitution that has delegated the power to the federal government to regulate drugs. So let's take a little walk. Let's take this little sightseeing tour around the Constitution. And if you remember that back in the 20s, there was this little thing called Prohibition, right? And so Prohibition was a constitution that was passed. And which one was it? It was the 18th Amendment. So why was it that the federal government passed a constitutional amendment to outlaw liquor? Well, think about that. Because obviously the Constitution never delegated them the power to regulate alcohol. But they've been taxing it. It's one thing to be able to tax it, but it's another thing to dictate that that is illegal. So I'm asking you, can you show me any of the amendments that we have up to the 27th, right? Show me the amendment that gave the federal government the ability to dictate what drugs are legal, what drugs are illegal, what drugs can be used for health care. Show me in the Constitution the amendments where the federal government even has any jurisdiction over health care. You get it? You understand now? So the federal government has created these laws, and they're getting very, very rich by enforcing these laws. And if you go back to the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, which I love, which is the fundamental premise of Republic Review, Thomas Jefferson points out the four laws that the federal government has jurisdiction over. One of that is counterfeiting. The other one is treason. The other one is committing crimes and misdemeanors on the high seas, which is outside of the United States boundary. And fourth, committing crimes against the laws of nations. That is another crime that is committed outside the boundaries of the United States. So, and I may be missing one, but I think that's it. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that the federal government does not have any powers delegated to it to dictate and to regulate laws and inflict laws and punishments. Now, the states do, and that's why the state has a very important role in this. What state was this ship, offshore with? Where was this ship at the time it was seized? Because that state should then be the recipient, if they have laws on their books, of actually charging these Siberians and Samoans for the crime of trying to smuggle into their state these drugs, if they have those laws on the books. Okay, so they can do that. However, the U.S. Constitution does not give the federal government, nor does it allow the states to what they call unusual and cruel punishments, right? If you look at the Bill of Rights, and the first 10 are the Bill of Rights of the amendments, it is Amendment 8, which covers excessive bail and or cruel punishment. Forfeit forfeiture is cruel punishment by being able to take away your property, like your home and everything else. Asset forfeiture is unconstitutional. They've made a huge leap in saying, yeah, we can just take everything you own because you committed a crime. First off, they have no jurisdiction over that crime. And the fact that they are using an application of taking away your property, that, my friends, is a huge overreach. That's two overreaches in this one case. Now, I will say that the state ought to hold J.P. Morgan fully accountable for this because it is their asset, right? And I think that they need to be going after the J.P. Morgan and saying, hey, why is it that it's your ship that was being used? And I think the executives ought to be called into the state, and the states ought to just do a public spanking and charge them. I believe there are laws, and I forget the type of law it is, that if your car is being used to commit a crime, then you can be held accountable. So the CEO, the board members, and everybody else should be dragged into the state and charged because they had an asset that was being used to transport something that was illegal in the state it was going in. There's no doubt in my mind. I think cocaine is illegal in every state. And so the states have that authority. This is a state issue. This is not a federal issue. But I'm just trying to point out how far the federal government has overreached in regulating every facet of our lives. Now, I'm not trying to say we need to legalize all these drugs. The states can have the authority to do that. They do have the authority to do that. My point is the federal government has no authority to do that, and they need to be put back into check.
We need to use Republic Review in calling the federal government out for their tyranny and creating all of these laws and so forth. If you want the federal government to actually regulate, you know, recreational drugs and those types of things, then you got to do the exact same thing that we did back, what was it, in the 20s or 1919, whenever the 18th Amendment was passed. But you got to remember that the 18th Amendment was repealed. It was actually repealed. And we followed the Article 5 process in doing that. So my point is this. If you want them to actually do this, if you want the federal government to actually exercise these powers, then we have to do what they did back then. Nothing's changed. There's no amendment in the Constitution that allows them to just grant themselves more power. The Constitution's never been modified that way. What is it going to take to get you to wake up, get you to step up and say, enough? Pretty soon they're going to start creating more. I mean, these are all overreaches, and they're about to start creating overreaches that they did back in 1798 to tell you that you can't use these words. You can't use, you know, the wrong gender for somebody, because states are already doing this, and these are huge violations. I've already told you, in Virginia and in Oregon, there have been people that have been fined tens of thousands of dollars for not referring to somebody by their proper pronoun because they were transgendered or what have you. We have not only perverted ourselves and our culture, but we have perverted our laws as well. Now, G. Edward Griffin points out, because this is a Washington State story and it's kind of near and dear to my heart, William Van Spronson, 69, was killed by police after he threw a Molotov cocktail at an ICE facility. And so, obviously, he's 69. He must have been, you know, some white supremacist or something like that, some far right radical. And so he actually damaged the ICE facility as well as some nearby cars. And so last Saturday, four officers opened fire and shot him dead. He released a manifesto before the attack stating, "I am Antifa," a 69-year-old man, a part of the communist movement here in the United States, and said that the attack was motivated by his opposition to concentration camps. So here's my point. Here is where politicians, these leftist politicians, use this hyperbole. They use this rhetoric of concentration camps and all of this, and then they don't get held accountable. It's almost like yelling fire in a theater. They get away with using this rhetoric and this hyperbole, and then these Antifa radicals use the exact same thing as their justification for going after these things. And the Antifa group was actually, what they were doing was they were actually trying to attack rednecks and calling it a redneck revolt and so forth. And as a matter of fact, CNN promoted this redneck revolt story a couple of months ago. You got to get your G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News on. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we will be back in our next show. I think we'll surprise you with a lot of good content. We'll be back. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.